This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, a show where myself, Dan Selke of WinnersComing.net, and Mia Johnson of DorksHunterTheForce.com talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy movies, TV. But today, it's all about Game of Thrones and Game of Thrones assorted programming, because there was a lot of news, and we have to talk about it. For the occasion, I have brought on Game of Thrones, Westeros, Essos, Song of Ice and Fire expert and Wick luminary and writer Corey Smith. Mia, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you all?
I'm well. And Corey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Not so bad. Okay. Thanks for being here, guys. Thanks for being here, Corey. So I just want to get right into it, because there were some major unexpected announcements that came last week in the live. Oh, hey, Jen. Hey, Kurt. Hey, everybody. Let's see what we can talk about. All right. So, last week, HBO and... Well, actually, no. HBO didn't announce. We learned that HBO was kind of on the edge of making, which basically I'm taking as they're going to make these things, a couple more Game of Thrones shows. We've known for a while they're making House of the Dragon, which is a kind of Game of Thrones prequel show set during the Dance of the Dragons, a Tarkarian Civil War, where there's dragons in the sky and they all fight each other and all that stuff. Okay. For a while, I assumed that was going to be the only thing we got, because HBO had more or less said, that's the only thing we're going to do, at least for now. And George R. R. Martin had said, Song of Fire writer, that we're not going to do, like, Robert's Rebellion. We're not going to do Dunkin' Egg. And last week, what do we learn? They're considering making Robert's Rebellion, and they're even talking to a writer about it, and they're making Dunkin' Egg. So many questions came into my head, but I guess we'll just start with the obvious ones. Corey, let's start with you, because I'm curious to hear your opinion about, because, you know, you know this stuff really, really well, and Mia, you're more of a, you've watched Game of Thrones, but haven't read any of the supplementary material. What did you think when you heard they're going to make a Dunkin' Egg show, going to make a Robert's Rebellion show? Are you excited? Are you terrified? Somewhere in between? What was your reaction, Corey Smith? What?
It's a little bit of a mixture of surprised and not surprised. I think a lot of people, especially anybody who kind of knows the Dunkin' Egg stories, always kind of pointed to those as a real easy follow-up to Game of Thrones.
So perfect.
They're very episodic. They're much smaller in scale than Game of Thrones. It has to do with a hedge knight and a secret Targaryen prince that kind of travel around Westeros and get into various adventures. And it's very, it would be a much different feel than the grand themes of
very much.
So we all kind of assumed that would be an easy one for them to do, but it sounded originally like Martin was the one who put the kibosh on it. Like everything else, he is still writing that series. And I think that he wanted to, I mean, in fact, that's what he told Ryan Condal, who is running House of the Dragon. He had told Ryan that, you know, he wanted to wait until those were finished. So it's not necessarily surprising that HBO wants to make it, but it is a little bit surprising that they're going forward with it over Martin's objections.
I think it's surprising too, and I have a theory about why. But okay, Mia. Ooh. So really quick, so Dunkin' Egg, the reason everyone thought it would be adapted like the first thing is because it's these three novellas Martin wrote like over the period of like 10 years. There's supposedly seven more coming, but you know, with Martin, you can never tell whether he's going to finish it or not. It was like Corey said, they're small scale. They're about basically a knight and his squire wandering around Westeros having adventures. Like, it works very well for like it, like they feel like TV episodes. They're like, mm-hmm. here's an adventure here. There's no dragons, there's no magic. It's like 90 years before the main show. It's just people wandering around, you know, meeting people and helping people and say people get into fights and scraps and adventures. It's lighter. There's still like death because it's Game of Thrones, but it's way lighter than anything on Game of Thrones. How does that like strike you just hearing it? Does that sound like something that might be worth watching? It's basically like if I'm sorry, I have one more comment. It's basically like if Brienne of Tarth and Podrick Payne, like when they were just wandering around, like had their own show, is more or less what it would be.
Yeah,
it sounds really accessible to a lot of kind of like casual listeners like me. And again, I think the whole appeal about Game of Thrones is that we get this medieval setting, but you get these really well-rounded out characters. And, you know, part mm-hmm. of that is really due to Martin's writing. And that does sound interesting, though, the kind of one-off adventures. And I think, and I know we'll talk about like, you know, copycatting the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all that stuff. Oh, but it to me kind of feels like, okay, if we can create this one, you know, Game of Thrones world that we know from the original series as a hub, if the fans are interested enough, they may be interested in these different kind of smaller stories, such as about, you know, some guy, you know, going around in these little adventures. So, yeah, that's kind of my theory, is that now that we're invested in the series, we might also be invested in the spinoff adventures. It's just kind of, hey, what's going on over here? What's going on over there? And all that.
As Kurt says, Duncan Egg sounds like the old Hercules show, which, okay, I can hear that.
There's a little show called The Mandalorian. It sounds exactly.
Oh,
like it's a guy wandering around with, I mean, you know, the Targaryen prince doesn't have force powers and probably isn't as cute as Baby Yoda. But, I mean, it's essentially almost, it's as close as Game of Thrones comes to The Mandalorian. Yeah. And I think that show's success over the past two seasons, past 2 years, is probably what ended up prompting it. That HBO saw that people were kind of interested in the smaller stories of the saga, not just the big grandiose, like House of the Dragon is gigantic. It's got dragon on dragon. It's got, you know, a civil war and all that stuff going on. But this was
incest and love and lust and all that good stuff.
Exactly. All the stuff that we kind of know from the original Game of Thrones, whereas Duncan Egg would feel a lot like The Mandalorian, where he's in a different location every couple episodes and he's meeting, you know, he meets powerful people like, you know, like how Luke comes in at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert. Luke comes in at the end of Mando. It's the same thing on Duncan Egg. They do have
Blood Raven shows up, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, they do have run-ins with characters that we would know, but they aren't central to the story like they would be on some of the other Game of Thrones shows. So I think that was probably a pretty big factor in this decision.
Wouldn't be surprised. Okay. I want to talk Robert's Rebellion, and then I have a theory. I mean, I think that makes sense. The Mandalorian kind of inspired them. I have my own sort of a grand unified theory of corporate greed and why this is happening. But first,
that always plays in, though. That's like understood. Oh,
definitely. But we'll get to that. So Duncan Egg, I'm excited to see it. Like I like that it would be a different tone, because like you said, House of the Dragon is pretty much what's the most Game of Thrones-y Game of Thrones follow-up we could do, like with the same sort of overtones. And I mean, frankly, it's even more pessimistic and more kind of more hopeless and just brutal than Game of Thrones was. But Duncan Egg is as happy as Game of Thrones show gets. Like, it does not get any lighter than that. Right. Now, what about Robert's Rebellion? So this is the other show, and I mean, I should say that we're not 100% sure, like, these are going to be shows, movies, whatever. They're going to make them. They're talking to Bruno Heller, who was the guy who did Rome on HBO, which is kind of like a proto Game of Thrones show in itself, like a big historical epic that ran for a couple of seasons, to run this one. Robert's Rebellion is, you know, the story of how Daenerys' dad, Aerys Targaryen, got booted off the throne, how young Ned Stark combined with young Robert Baratheon combined with middle-aged John Arryn and teamed up to overthrow the king. And we heard a lot about this in the original show. Like, we had flashbacks to this, to, you know, Ned Stark at the Tower of Joy right there. We had Rhaegar and Lyanna getting married, which was their Jon Snow's parents. So, like, technically, Daenerys and Jon Snow could be in this show as, like, three-month-olds. Like, that's how recent this is. Okay, Mi, I'll go with you first. So,
yeah,
like, they told this story on Game of Thrones. Would this be something you wanted to watch? Like, the story of how the old, fat Robert Baratheon king got on the throne, who's there at the start. He marries Cersei. Like, there are characters, like Tywin Lannister would be like a young, like the younger versions of them would be on this show.
Yeah.
And it would be the story of, like, you know, how they overthrew Daenerys' dad and chased them across the Narrow Sea, basically.
No,
who was crazy? The Mad King.
Yeah. Again, I think it's one of those stories that I feel like I'm warming up to the idea more and more. Again, kind of like how Corey said with The Mandalorian or stuff like WandaVision. It's like you kind of can see in some way when you have a good backstory to tell, you know, it might be fun to see that story a little bit more rounded out, see it play out fully. And again, the cameos, right? I would die to see a young Jon Snow and a young Daenerys. I would really love that.
Literally, like they would be Muppets. Like 3 month old.
No, yeah. That would delight me still, but no, I get it.
It's like young Olenna Tyrell. That could be cool. Like when she's just like in her 50s.
Yeah, I personally cannot recall, you know, the amount of stuff that they've done in the series to kind of tell this story. But again,
there's a lot.
I don't have anything against it thus far, unless you guys have any other opinions. Because right now I'm kind of like, I'll take it. Why not?
What about you, Corey? Because, I mean, the reason that George R. R. Martin said he didn't want to do this one, which is, of course, who they're doing, is because he thinks that by the end of his book series, he'll have basically given you all the information you need about this event. So it's like, why bother? What do you think? Do you think that holds any water? Or are you excited to see it?
Yeah. No, I mean, I hate to make another Star Wars comparison, but this would
go
be...
go crazy.
Yeah.
It would be a little bit like the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
We had heard a lot about those events, but didn't necessarily know every detail. I will say, I think Martin, between his books and the show, he's revealed a lot more. He is pretty close to revealing most of the details. You know, I mean, we get recounts of all kinds of battles and, you know, the Battle of the Bells and things like that, where there's a lot of detail in the books and on the show. So, I mean, I'd be open for it. I just don't know how much runway you would have with it. I mean, I would think at most you could squeeze out maybe 2 seasons, you know, just because there's not a lot of, I mean, you'd have the build up to the actual rebellion and then the rebellion would go on. And I just don't know. It wouldn't have like an 8-season run. There's not enough going on there. So, I mean, I'd be up for it. I mean, there's definitely some epic events that would be fun to see on the screen. Sure. And there's, you know, there's battles and betrayals and all that stuff. So it'd be fun to see. I just, again, I don't know how much runway there would be with it. It'd be kind of a short-lived, almost like a mini series, you know, like a 10-episode mini series type thing. So
I think Christian literally said Robert's Rebellion shouldn't be more than a 1-season show, and I agree. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I will say they're getting Bruno Heller to do it. Rome did last for 2 seasons. Maybe that's like their idea. I mean, I'm afraid that they want all of these to be like 8-season Game of Thrones style epics, which is, I mean, they can't possibly, because they're not all that big. Like, all of these shows are smaller. I mean, like, if I was going through with this and I was like, we're going to have these Game of Thrones shows, I would almost feel like, what if you just, like, did them in sequence? Because, like, House of the Dragon, you can get, like, 4 seasons out of that. That's not, like, a giant, huge story either. Probably less, like, 3. Like, Dunk and Egg could go on for as long as they can invent stuff. Robert's Rebellion's, like, a 1-2 season kind of thing. Maybe you could have, like, the House of the Dragon show run for 4 seasons, Dunk and Egg run for 3, and then the Robert's Rebellion, and then you'll have a complete set if you just, like, go in his chronological order.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what they're thinking. Here's some comments here, some good stuff. As Jen says, does he a cocky little Viserys? Oh, like, yeah, like little Danny's older jackass brother when he was, like,
yeah,
4.
Like, I think, like, what, 7 or 8 or something like that during the Rebellion. Just old enough to barely remember what was going on.
Like, but old enough to dislike him, because I bet he was a dickish kid.
He'd have a personality already, yeah.
Like, he'd be one of those, like, little kids who just can't stand, who, like, runs around screaming and, like thwapping people with stuff and being really annoying, screaming in the back of cars, that kind of thing.
The Joffrey version 2. Yeah. Or version 1.
Yes, version 1. As Kurt says, I would appreciate seeing Ned Stark in his prime, him, the Greyjoys, and other characters that didn't really have enough time to shine in the original series. And, yeah, so there's appreciation for seeing this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I would see it too. I always think it would work better as like a movie, because like, you're right. It's short. And I just hope they're not like trying to retrofit a Game of Thrones size show onto every event they adapt, because some of them don't support it. Like, I think like 2 or 3 Robert's Rebellion TV movies would be really good.
Yeah, or like I said, just one season, you know, like 1 10-episode or, you know, 8 or 9 episodes, something like that.
Series.
I think they could also, you know, they could go sort of the route that like True Detective is gone, and, you know, they could do these sort of like anthologies where, you know, yeah, like Robert's Rebellion would be one season. They could do Duncan Egg one season, you know, and there's a couple other eras in Martin's history, because his history is extensive, that he's
written
to and alluded at different events. So I feel like they could really mine that, excuse me, but they'd have to do it sparingly and not just have these huge epics that they're fleshing out for no reason.
And the reason that I'm afraid they would try it anyway, okay, I'm now going to get into my corporate conspiracy bit. So when they first pitched HBO, Game of Thrones spinoffs, like there were 5 of them. Like, one was that prehistory Blood Moon thing, didn't end up going forward. There was a Valyrian one that didn't end up going forward. I mean, then there was House of the Dragon that did go forward. I think there were at least 2 others that we don't really know what they were. Maybe they were these 2. But it seemed to me that they had settled on just doing the 1, and they didn't want to tick off George R.R. Martin, who, by the way, I just want to say, has not said a single thing about any of this, or about House of the Dragon, for a while. I think he's ticked. That's my opinion. Remember, this is the same company that ticked off, like, the director of Dune, and the director of all those other of all those other movies, by saying we're going to release all these movies on HBO Max this year. I think AT&T came in and said, you're only making 1 Game of Thrones spinoff? Are you kidding? Do you see what Disney's doing with Marvel and Star Wars? We have to get on this. Where's Star Wars Rebellion? Where's Duncan Egg? Where's the other stuff? And there may be others, by the way. These are like the 2 shows that were reported to actually be kind of in talks about. Like, they also said they're considering more. So, okay, I guess the question here is, why is this happening now? Like, what is their goal? And how hard do they want to be Disney? The floor is open.
I mean, who doesn't want to be Disney? I mean, they've
people with integrity.
I mean, I guess so. But, you know, I think that you know, the landscape has changed so radically just in the past couple of years. I mean, 2 years ago, I mean, think about it. All we had was Netflix and Hulu, right?
It's amazing to think.
Yeah. So now we've got, you know, HBO Max, you got Disney Plus, you got Paramount Plus, whatever it's called today. I mean, you've got all these things are going on. And so I think it changed. And so I absolutely 100% think they've ticked off Martin. I think the man is not silent when something pisses him off. And so I think in this case, they totally have. But I think they've got, you know, they have the rights to this world, and so they can choose at any time to you know, develop the other projects. I think initially they wanted to like keep him happy, but I think at the end of the day, push came to shove, and the bosses that have taken over, like you said, AT&T has taken over, they don't have a relationship with Martin, right? You know, to them it's just a property that's not being developed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, corporations are in business to make money. So I think it's some degree of that, you know, somewhere in that area is what happened.
On the day they that this news leaked, Martin wrote about his Wild Cards book series, which to me is like passive aggressively acting out almost.
Mia, yeah, he just edits that series. He's not even really writing for that series. Mm. So that's not even really his, you know, sort of thing per se. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Yeah, I think they definitely ticked him off. Because, you know, circling back, when Ryan Condal pitched House of the Dragon, he initially pitched Duncan Eck. Mm-hmm. That was his first idea to do, he said HBO that's the one they wanted. But yeah, Martin put the kibosh on it and said no. So I think clearly they've looked at what's going on. They've looked at the success that these other streamers are having, and they're falling behind every single day. And I think that's where they're at. So,
Mia, how about you? What do you make of the kind of meta narrative going on here as HBO competes with Disney, competes with Netflix, and where Game of Thrones kind of fits into that?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with both of you too. I think right now HBO Max, HBO, whatever entity you want to call them, wants to be a part of the conversation.
Warner Media, AT&T, there are a lot of names over in there.
Clearly, as of, you know, when they launched last year up to now, they're still not really a part of the conversation. Like, you know, AFI just came out with their awards for like best TV shows. Mandalorian was on there, which is like, wow, like best TV shows of 2020, stuff like Bridgerton from Netflix, and basically everything Netflix, everything Disney, and even sometimes Apple TV Plus gets in there. But, you know, they're still not a part of this conversation where people are like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm tweeting about such and such on HBO Max, or I can't wait to see what happens next week in the show. So, you know, it's probably like, I'm sure they were poking George R. R. Martin with a stick for a while, but like you said, it ultimately comes down to if they have the rights, then they have the right to make that executive decision, to make the call and say, we need to get in this now before, you know, we all crumble over. Because they've, you know, I feel like the gap between, you know, when season 8 finale aired and now is like way too long in TV terms for them to just be like sitting around and they've got nothing, you know, in the vault. So I think it's like, okay, we need to get this done now, because even if we approve of it, then we've got to go get it writing, and we've got to get the set, and we've got to act, and then we've got to edit. So it's a long, long process. And unfortunately, they're behind at this moment. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that they are kind of the one plane catch up, like from the start. Like, you know, the price is too high and it came out too late and the name is dumb and everything. I still hate the name HBO Max. I still don't think it makes any sense. As Kurt says, they can't be Disney, but let's be real. Game of Thrones is their cash cow. Martin wishes the work to be respected, but HBO is about the coin, which, I mean, every company is. But okay, here's where I'm like, I don't know, like the last samurai who wants to hold on to the old ways or something.
Yeah.
Because there was a time not too long ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah. 3 years ago, before AT&T bought them. We're like, so HBO was always known for being the company that kind of took bold risks. And, you know, like House of the Dragon is their very first ever spinoff. Like, that they weren't really part of the kind of corporate games you would roll your eyes at with other companies. They had their own stuff. I mean, they got by having more naked body parts than other people could have, and that's how they made their salacious money. But they had a reputation for kind of making just really, really good content and not bringing it down too much. Although I know there were contradictions in there, because they had like Taxi Cab Confessions and all this sort of like really salacious kind of naked crap. But, and you know, now that they were bought by this giant entity, first Warner Media, then AT&T put Warner Media, it just disappoints me a little to see them playing the game to begin with. Like, I don't love seeing them chase the success that Disney is having, which they are clearly doing. And I understand why. I understand why it's inevitable. But there is a part of me that wishes, like, oh, why don't you take the high road, HBO, and, you know, just make the one thing and prove that you don't need 18,000 shows on the air at once. You just make it really good and you'll be a capture the attention of the world again. How unbearably naive is that? On a scale of unbearably naive to catastrophically universally naive.
I mean, I agree with you in principle, and I would like to see at least somebody try the quality over quantity approach. you know, because Netflix can, you know, one of their big accusations is they kind of just throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. And a lot of their shows, you know, they get one or two seasons, and then if they don't have the ratings, they get dropped, you know, mid story or mid plot. So I would in theory, but I wonder, and I think they could get away with it more in an analog world where people are watching cable. But when you have an entire company's catalog in front of you at your fingertips, you need to have a big catalog, and you can't get away with one or two premiere shows per year, right? Which is what they were doing before. They had, you know, they'd have their big show, and they'd have other shows that were popular and that were good. You know, like Veep was running at the same time as Game of Thrones, or they
Big Little Lies and like Euphoria. Like, they've had hits even since Game of Thrones that aren't Game of Thrones.
But if you don't have, I mean, you just got to have massive amounts of content, I think, is the issue. And when HBO Max came out, it's like, we joke about how you, on Netflix, you can sit there and, you know, you're looking for something for an hour. Yeah. You can go through the whole HBO Max, you know, library in 10, 15 minutes. I mean, there's just not a lot there. So yeah, I think that's part of the problem, is they started an exclusive streaming service without a huge amount of content. And Disney gets away with it because they have the kid factor, the nostalgia factor, you know, and they have a fairly large catalog, and they add to it through acquisitions.
And Netflix has just the mountain of so much quantity. You can just sit there for weekends on time.
Exactly. So I think that's probably what's forcing their hand, is just they don't have, you know, they can't sit back and rely on the one or two shows that people can binge in a couple weeks. And then they don't have, and then they don't come back to the service because there's not any new product coming out. So,
yeah, yep. It's, to me, it's
will
like,
you die on the hill with me and be the last samurai with me?
You know, for my own sake, I really would love if they would just scale back and give us the opportunity to just kind of breathe and catch up on some other stuff. And but it's like they do have to stay ahead, keep ahead in the game. And it feels like they have no option, because otherwise, you know, there's so much noise and they're being, you know, kind of drowned out by everyone else. So it's kind of like, the only analogy I can think of is, you know, having stuff that can float to the surface. That's right. You know, right at the top of your feed, right? Because, yeah, Veep is awesome. Sopranos is awesome, but it's old, you know.
They are making a Sopranos prequel, by the way. That was in that trailer.
But again, yeah, you have to have that, like, the new stuff be fresh. It has to be talked about, you know. We're always talking about Mandalorian, WandaVision, and all these things, because it's fresh, it's new, we want to know what happens. And so all the old stuff, no one is reporting on it. That's not kind of in circulation and in conversation anymore because it's old. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's like they've cornered themselves. And they could try to be like the martyr, or, you know, try to be the one person to be, you know, the last person standing on this hill of, we're going to stay true to our word. But they might get trampled if they stand on that hill. I think they're going to get trampled.
Samurai's died out. Look, I know that my view is unrealistic and apocalyptic even. I just can't help feeling it. I think Lamont has some really good comments here. They need more than one show in production, because the other course, what they did with Blood Moon, they put all their eggs in one basket on a single unproven project, and it got canceled for still mysterious reasons. I'd love to hear more about that. And he says, Corey is making a lot of good points about HBO Max. That's you. They didn't launch with proven hits. They scrambled to launch a streamer because the old guard under Plepler, Richard Plepler, former CEO, didn't even want a streaming service, which is wild to think about. They couldn't launch with a flagship show like Disney did with The Mandalorian. They had to scramble to put out what they had in hand and charge $15 for it, more than either of the other ones.
The nerve.
There have been a lot of decisions with that place that have been like, okay, whatever. But yeah, I think you guys have the right of it. I mean, I know you guys have the right of it. I'm just fighting with my own emotional instincts. And I am excited to watch them. I'll be very curious to see what they do. I mean, this also kind of ties into, like, before we move on to our, kind of our last little bit, you know, the news about the Harry Potter show they're making, or may be making. I'm not really sure if it was, like, kind of vague. That's, like, an obvious move that I figured we'd be making for a while. And they may have pulled the trigger, which is obviously another kind of attempt to get some huge, you know, there are people who will watch that right out of the gate content on there.
Oh, yeah.
So apart from all the, sorry, Mia, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that was something I had recommended, I think, episodes ago on this show, because I was upset with Fantastic Beasts and the way that that series was going. I think so my recommendation was to do a Harry Potter show. So I would, I definitely would love to see that. And I think, would that be stronger than any of their Game of Thrones stuff? That has me thinking. I mean, Harry Potter is a theme park. They have all those other things. So
it would draw people in most definitely.
So yeah, it does. It makes me curious why that also wasn't kind of like on the top of their slate of, you know, to do stuff.
Yeah, me too. That is curious. It might not be real, so we'll see what happens. All right, so beyond any of the heady talk of the meta narrative here and the politics, anybody have any casting ideas for who you'd like to see in a Dunkin' Egg show or a Rebels Rebellion show? I have one.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that. You know, Dunk is Sir Duncan is extremely tall and very, very fit in the show.
Like, I mean, we have to make allowances, right? Like, you're not gonna find a great like 6'8" actor or whatever. You might have to just like, you know, like Brienne in the show is taller and bigger, but like they great because he still worked perfectly.
Well, we should also point out that Sir Duncan is supposedly one of Brienne's ancestors.
Right.
So that explains her kind of abnormal height as far as the show goes. So, man, I don't know. You would have to
also
have somebody...
Also look right over the
Kingsguard. You couldn't get away, though, with, like, Kit Harington or someone. I know you couldn't nail, like, a 6'8" guy, but you would have to have somebody that's physically imposing to play him. I mean, because he's just such a big guy, and that's kind of a lot of his stories played into how big and strong he ends up being and lends himself to being such a good knight down the road.
So, and also like a little dumb. I like that about him. He's like a little thick.
Yeah, he's not the brightest. He's not the brightest or like crafty, or, you know, he's always out of his depth when he's kind of thrust into the Game of Thrones, you know, universe. So, man,
but good-hearted, Mia.
Is Chris Chris Evans? Chris Hemsworth, is he too A-list?
He would be probably too A-list, but he's who you'd physically he would fit the role, because he's a big, strong-looking guy, and he wouldn't be, you know, he would definitely be imposing and take up the screen, which was what Sir Duncan always does in the books. So.
As Christian says, Josh Hartnett, which I could see. I actually liked some folks were saying Tom Hopper from Black Sails, and who played Sam's brother.
Yeah,
he could do it. Dickon. I think that's good. He's got like a big blockhead and like a really big frame.
Yeah,
like
plays Luther on. He plays Luther on
Umbrella Academy. Yeah,
Academy.
Yeah. I like that idea. I think they would fit pretty well. Like big, tall. Like kind of traditionally masculine sort of looking, and like could probably play a little dumb, and then the smart one is his child squire, who helps him with all the thinking problems.
Right.
For Robert's Rebellion, I've thought for a long time that a young Tywin Lannister could be played by Benedict Cumberbatch and do a really good job. Just like, you know, like just like the intense stare and just kind of the unyielding presence with like the voice that brooks no argument and the eyes that bored into you. I mean, he's probably too A-list too, but I think that would actually be pretty good. If it's just a movie, I would say go for it. Otherwise, I'm not sure who. They can get the Ned Stark guy from the show, maybe.
Yeah, it would depend on if it's going to be a movie or a season long, you know, event. But even, I mean, circling back to like True Detective, I mean, they had McConaughey and Harrelson in that. So, I mean, even if you did a one season
or Sean thing, Lee,
you could probably get some pretty big guy, you know, pretty big names on the show.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so that's where we are with that. Any other concept, any of this, these shows, fears, hopes, piercing insights into the gaping maw that is our corporate system or paeons to it?
I think I'll just say, I mean, if they do somehow manage, I'm willing to give HBO more slack than maybe other streamers would do. Because
for now, I am.
Yeah. And I know we're talking about them turning into a mass production streamer like the others, but I still think that there's enough of their, you know, quality, you know, their pledge to quality or whatever you want to call it, in their DNA, that if they do decide to do multiple shows, however they, you know, do it, I'd be willing to give them enough rope where I would assume they're going to be good.
Oh yeah. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Let me ask you this too. Are there any other shows you might think they could adapt? Like any other eras, any other stories?
I mean,
as long as we're going whole hog.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, like the Blood Moon one, you know, I think that one was, I never really agreed with that one because that one seems so radically different. Nothing would have been familiar at all to any of us. And so it just seemed, you know, too different in a sense.
Seemed like an odd choice a bit, yeah.
Yeah. I would love to see, personally, I think Dance of the Dragons and, you know, House of the Dragon will be great. I would love to see Aegon's Conquest. I think that area would have been cool because we get to see all areas of Westeros and we get to see them kind of first moving into the continent and things like that. So I would be down for that one. That would be another one of my, you know, on my wish list.
In the comments, yeah, we got Alexander Skarsgård for Dunk and Tom Hopper from Nick, which I agree with, all about the Tom Hopper. And Christian loves your input, Corey.
Well, thanks.
You're in the spotlight. Stop it. Mia, any other final thoughts from you?
No, I feel like, and I don't mean to rush HBO, because, you know, if you rush, things get kind of sloppy and you don't know how they're going to turn out. But I do feel like the heat is on, and I do feel like they got to get a leg up at some point because, to be honest, we don't need, you know, we've got so many other options that we don't need HBO Max. We're seeing other people. So it's like, they better hurry up and impress us.
Yeah, HBO Max. We have other phone calls we can answer. So best get on it. But also somehow do it really fast, but also do it incredibly well. Easy. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Simple.
Yeah. No.
Well,
no
thanks,
pressure.
Guys. And thanks, Corey, for coming on. I knew that we needed someone who really knew Game of Thrones for this one. And feel free to come on whenever you want. Just like say, but you want to come on, you can come on for anything. Everyone who watched, thanks for watching. Everyone who listened, thanks for listening. We are available in podcast form on iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are available. We are here live on the Winners Win Facebook page every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Hope to see you next week for more discussion of topics great and small, fantastical and otherwise, TV and movies, fantasy and sci-fi. What'll happen next week? We'll find out in a week. I'm not a psychic. Thanks for watching and see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Fansided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.